And good afternoon. It's Juno afternoon, and it's Thursday, September 5th, and my name is Shona Strasser, and I'm very happy to be back in the studio after a two-week hiatus. So happy to have in the studio with me some great stuff. Harrison B. is going to be here, not just to talk about his upcoming projects, but also we're going to hear some music live. I'm happy about that. We're going to talk to the Divas, because there's a huge Diva fundraiser this very weekend. We'll have some Divas in the studio. And we'll also talk to M.K. McNaughton, a diva in her own right, about her upcoming chairs exhibit, painted chairs, that's right. And then also Nancy DeCherney with Arts Up, one of my favorite people in Juno, be here to talk about all of this week's First Friday Gallery openings, all that and more. Stay tuned. And first up here we have National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Oklahoma's governor says the father of a little girl in the middle of a custody battle is not acting in good faith. The father faces charges in South Carolina. KGOU's Kirk Gortney has more on the ongoing dispute.
A statement from Governor Mary Fallon says she has signed an extradition order that would force Dustin Brown, a member of the Cherokee Nation, to leave Oklahoma to face charges of interfering with the custody of 3-year-old Veronica. Last month, the governor said she would delay Brown's extradition to South Carolina if he showed a willingness to work with Matt and Melanie Capobianco. The South Carolina courts have ordered the Capobiancos have custody of Veronica. Brown has argued he should have custody under the federal Indian Child Welfare Act. Governor Fallon's spokesman, Alex Wentz, says Brown's actions show he is not working to seek resolution in the case.
We don't think he's acting in good faith anymore, trying to find that negotiated settlement, and so with that in mind, the governor decided to proceed with the extradition order, which is really our standing procedure anyway. It's the only reason he received a delay of a few weeks here is because of the very unusual nature of the case.
The Cherokee Nation has said it will continue to support Brown in his fight to raise Veronica. A statement from the tribe's Secretary of State, Chuck Hoskin Jr., said Fallon's statement contained false information, but the governor's spokesman said Hoskin did not identify any specifics in his statement. Hoskin said Fallon's action is unacceptable and Oklahomans will not forget. A gag order prevents either the Browns or Capobiancos from talking to the media about the case. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gwartney.
Tribal and federal officials are focusing on more protection for sacred sites. As Charles Michael Ray reports, they're meeting this week in South Dakota.
Federal officials say these interagency meetings are a step in the process for identifying and protecting sacred sites. Butch Blazer from the Mescalero Apache tribe is deputy undersecretary with the USDA. He says one goal of this week's meetings is to build on the federal government's relationship with tribal nations in order to increase protection for the places deemed sacred.
Throughout my whole career, I've heard non-Indian people make comments that we should manage like the Indian people do because they really understand the land. You know, they have very close ties to the land. And it's true. The Indian people in this country have a great deal to share the non-Indian world. And they need to be given the opportunity to do that.
Blazer says this series of meetings is to lay out a plan that will increase consistency for protecting sacred sites across federal lands while recognizing the unique needs of each tribe. Blazer says a timeline for the implementation is being worked out in this initial meeting. For National Native News, I'm Charles Michael Ray in Rapid City, South Dakota.
The Oneida Indian Nation is launching an ad campaign in efforts to rid the name of the Washington Redskins. According to the Associated Press, the New York tribe on Thursday said the first ad will run on radio stations in Washington, D.C. before the football team's Monday season opener. The tribe's ad reportedly calls on the NFL to stand up to bigotry by denouncing the racial slur in the team's name. An NFL spokesperson told the Associated Press the name has always intended to be positive and used in a respectful manner. The team's owner has vowed to never change the name. During this month in 2012, seven tribes and some Native health organizations across the country participated in the first annual Intertribal Suicide Awareness Walk. They organized events in their communities during National Suicide Prevention Week. Highlights included a walk in Baltimore, Maryland, to the Indian Center, where they released balloons in solidarity with other tribal communities. The Muscogee Creek Nation in Oklahoma reported 100 people attended its event, which included a remembrance ceremony. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, and by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser. Thanks so much for tuning in today to KTOO. And in the studio with me, I'm lucky, very lucky, to have Harrison B. Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself today?
Great. Yeah. Great. Yeah.
A little bit of sunshine. Never hurt nobody.
Nope. It's fabulous. So, Harrison B., you have your acoustic guitar with you here, which, you know, makes me very happy here in the studio. So what's going on for you? What are you doing here in town?
I'm here in town. It seems like twice a year I make my way up this way. I still enjoy, while I'm doing my own booking and got the chance, I enjoy going up to the main state, doing Anchorage, doing the surrounding areas all the way down. I did Salmon Stock this year is what originally brought me to the state. Played that with Brandy Carlisle and Triple Bot Turtles and a bunch of great local bands, too, out of Anchorage. And, I was up here, and I love coming to Juneau. I love playing the university out here and always stopping downtown and either hitting the Alaskan or somewhere in between. And so it's just become a ritual for me almost, definitely a place to come and play, but also a place to kind of take a mini vacay from it all for a second, too.
Right. So where do you hail from?
I hail from Nashville, Tennessee, and have for my whole life, pretty much.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Born and bred Tennessee.
Born and bred Tennessee.
It's that accent.
That's a little bit, yeah, well, a lot, yeah.
Yeah. So what are you doing this go-around in Juneau?
Sure, yeah, we did the UAS Luau for their housing lodge. We did their campus kickoffs coming up tomorrow out there. And then got one date. We kept it to one date this year. We're going to do the Alaskan on Friday the 13th. It's our 100th anniversary weekend. We're trying to blow it out. We're trying to do it right. And so I'm really looking forward to, no matter where I go, I consider that place one of my musical homes. And so I want to see as many people down there as we can get. And I promise to put it on as hard as I can. So that's about all there is to that.
100 years. Wow. Yeah, you got to represent, actually.
I'm honored to be a part, you know.
So, nice.
Yeah.
So what brought you originally to Juneau kind of in the first place?
I have a very similar story to the majority of individuals that find themselves in Alaska. I graduated, for me, it was a university and just a general lack of knowing where I wanted to be. And so I came to seek. And I drove 4,300 miles, stopped in Juneau, zipline tour guide is what my job was for half a year. Long story short, I had been doing music for some time in the Nashville singer-songwriter vein, decided that wasn't for me, came up here to get away from it, found my own voice that is my current incarnation, took it back down, recorded the album, started touring it there, and I was like, man, I know just as many people up north. Came back the first time, been coming back ever since. That's 4 years ago.
Oh, that was just 4 years ago. I mean, it's like, I guess it's long and short at the same time, right?
It's true.
Well, great. We're so lucky to actually have you come back and, you know, tour and come through here. We're very lucky.
I feel lucky. No, you ain't got to say that, but I do. I think it's equal for me, too.
So. Oh, great. So I've got a tune.
Yeah, I do.
Fabulous.
Yeah, I got a new record coming out with November the 18th. It's called Down at Brown's, recorded in my hometown, Las Casas, and this song's off of it. I got about half my voice, y'all, so bear with me, but this one's called What It Sounds Like.
He said he'd give us the whole voice.
I'm in a sun yet.
I skip straight to my brain, skipping by the cold shoulder, seen from vagabond with a trade on bone with a medium emotor. I found my role in a race and I see a faceless people, man. What is he the man? He done dealt a hand, individual but not equal. Do you not wonder what it feels like? Do you not wonder what it is that we all share? Top and the bottom cast system, skipping record, what was me? I count your blessings, looking up toward the heaven, be like, ooh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh no, that's what it sound like, that's what it be like, that's what it sound like, that's what it be like, yeah. Ooh, 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 that's what it sound like, that's what it be like. That's what it sound like, that's what it be like. Yeah, and the more and the more you get closer to the shop of the tooth, the deeper the ocean, the world of perdition, via de la Rosa, the beauty and struggle of life in a woven and what. And I feel that life here is a call to hear that I what you most fear. So the next time you wake safe and sound one morning unexplained, you will stop moaning, that's your own life, that's your moaning, be like, ooh, yeah, 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 oh no. That's what it sound like, that's what it be like, yeah. That's what it sound like, that's what it be like, yeah, I said, ooh, 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 that's what it sound like, that's what it be like, yeah, that's what it sound like, that's what it be like, it be like, say,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, hey, not bad for half a voice, I'd say.
Man, yeah, you can tell. I'm just going to pretend that's what's supposed to, it's supposed to be genuine like that. It's raw.
It's raw. It's a little sexy, yeah.
Okay.
It's great. It's great.
All right. We're going on a date after this, y'all. Or you knew that or not.
So my next question for you is, when's that album coming out again? You said November?
November 18th.
18th. And how do people get it? What's it called? What was that song?
Yeah, that was What It Sounds Like, and that's off the album. Down at Brown's is the name of it, and it's a concept album recorded in a general store that I grew up going to on Saturdays. So more akin to an audio play than anything else. We mic'd everything from the door that we walked through, and everybody did live takes, one run, full record with 8 pieces. So it
right,
there was actually a crowd that got to watch it of about 105 people. We pumped the literal mix out the door through a PA, so they got to hear it as it was being made. So it's a cool deal. It's the most organic thing I'm probably going to do in the history of any music probably that I'll ever do. This is my shot at raw, and then it's time to get more back into the produced stuff. So I wanted to clear my palate, though, and get a chance at some real raw stuff. So that's what this album's going to be about.
Right on. So what's it called again?
Down at Brown's.
Down at
is
Brown's.
The name of it. Yeah, and Brown's is the name of the general store.
Okay.
Yep, and November 18th, you can find them pre-selling it right now in person. Also, you can find me at harrisonbmusic.com, facebook.com/harrisonbmusic, either of those places. We'll put you on where you need to be. We're still in the pre-sale stages, and I got 10 Alaskan-themed T-shirts left, too, y'all. If you catch me in the city, I can get y'all one of those.
Wait, what's that?
I've got a Harrison B in Alaska. I saw Harrison B in Alaska is literally what it says on it. It's got the state on it. I decided to do my own T-shirt for this run up here because
nice.
I told you I freaking love coming up here, whether you believed it or not. So I got those too, y'all. So I'm really excited to get those out because I got love for here.
Yeah. So you said you've got a tour coming up.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
Well, that's going to be in April. And we're going to just signed on a full 4-piece band, which is, that'll be the third satellite band, kind of a the Northwestern branch, I guess. Mm-hmm. All the same music, ETC, and we'll be making the run. We're booking a tour from Fairbanks all the way through Homer. So 3 weeks is what it's going to be. That's going to be, starting, I guess, April the 5th is the first day.
Okay.
And so for 3 weeks starting then. And it's going to be a good solid run. Before that, I'll actually be back here in Juneau for a minute, too. I guess those plans are still tentative. I shouldn't speak so freely. But, I'm going to be back up here. I mean, I'll be back around Southeast for a while. I'll do New York, and then I'll come back here. It'll be pretty much the same thing I just did for the last 2 months in reverse. So
okay.
It's coming up in April. So
didn't you say that actually maybe a local Juneau, not so local anymore, but a Juneau favorite is playing with you, possibly?
Sammy Burrows is lead guitar on this, so he will be. He's a member of the band, and I'm so excited. You know, and when it came time to choose one, there was nobody else. And when I realized he was going to be in Anchorage, it was a no-brainer. So
yeah, that's a score.
Love that guy. He's as genuine as they get.
Yeah, what a great tour. That's going to shape up to be pretty nice.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So in most of your touring, are you going flying solo? Are you picking up bands here and there? How does that work?
Depends on where we go. I got hubs here, obviously, and then one in New York, and then my mainstay is the Southeast. And so that's a four-piece. Everything in the Southeast is usually a four-piece, unless it's an acoustic event. New York, opposite. It is all acoustic. When I come up here, it is anywhere from acoustic to a full four-piece, mainly operating anywhere from solo to a trio. So it just depends on where I'm at, where you're going to catch me. The Alaskan on Friday the 13th, there's going to be multiple members on stage. So it's going to be a full band that night as well. But, you know, each type of performance is so different. I enjoy doing them all. You get to emote completely when it's just you and a guitar. But with a band, you get to make a lot of noise, and that's fun, too.
Fun.
So,
yeah. Are you ready for another song?
We're going to do a softer one this time.
All right.
This one's also off down at Brown's, y'all. This is an acoustic take. I'll do this one, just me and a guitar. This is called Raindrops in Asheville. The truth, but it's lost a pile. The bluebird, yeah, well, they say it's raining in Asheville. Yeah, with tears in Tennessee. The cliches and the poets, man, they try to warn me. I can't deny that I caught their clues. All the things that the devil he be dragging from me. Well, I should have known that he be coming for you. Yeah, but I promise not to let you go down easy. Oh, and my grip, well, it's strong and it's been tested for some time. Yeah, well, they say it's raindrops in Asheville. Yeah, with tears in Tennessee. Yeah, well, the stacks at Oak Ridge, well, they smile because they trying to beat me. Yeah, that's the part about love that they ain't so quick to tell. That you can drive on the hill just to get back what you've given. Oh, you can drive on the hill, but you won't make it out of hell. Yeah, well, they say it's raining in Asheville. Oh,
but these tears, well, they falling heaviest of all. Oh, they say it's raining in Asheville.
A bit tragic there, right? Eh?
Amen. That's life, I suppose.
I guess so. Well, we were talking about before band names before we came on air here. So here's your wild card.
Okay, let's do it.
How'd you get your name, Harrison B?
My middle name, my full name is Jordan Harrison Barron. My middle name is Harrison. My last initial is B, and I just felt like I needed to create a space where I could go be an artist, and I didn't have to drag my personal baggage up there, and I could let it be pure, it could be its own thing, and anything anybody could ever attack me as for being a person, they couldn't attack me as for being an artist, and I wanted it to remain purity, you know, not let myself taint it, and so that's where the name comes from, that's why there's a separation there, but at the same time, I didn't want to create, you know, a separate existence for myself, I wanted to keep it, and it's, you know, this the music side is a large part of my life, but it's only, you know, half of a whole. So,
right.
But it's a real genuine piece. I'm not lying when I'm up there doing it. So I didn't want to come up with something crazy. You know, I wanted to keep it that very genuine and real. So that's how I got to Harrison B.
There you go. It wasn't too much of a wild card.
No.
All right. So tell us the 100th anniversary party date again.
Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th at the Alaskan.
At the Alaskan.
And what time are you starting there?
Well, say music's going to be on around 9 o'clock.
So. Air quoted that just so you know.
Oh, my gosh. Don't be throwing out my secrets.
9. Well, we know better.
You do. That's why when I say we can all, like, over the air wink at each other and know I'm probably not going on until 9:30. But you need to come get lubed up a little bit before we start. Because you don't want to come in there bone dry. About,
no,
right?
No. Right.
First song, we got to be going. It's go. Go.
And also, what, November 18th, your CD is coming out?
November 18th, down at Brown's release. Yeah, find me online. That's the digital. That's, if you want any information on me, that's where you're going to get it.
Great. Harrison B. online for sure. And also, look for the tour in April.
Yes, we will be back.
Awesome. Harrison B., it's been such a pleasure. Hey, I've got queued up here, Where the Birds Are Gone. What's that from?
While the Birds Are Gone, I wrote this one specifically for the Maine State. This is my winter song from walking to the Mendenhall Glacier from the Mendenhall River on Back Loop Road. This is what I saw.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
With the summer clothes, window seat and an ocean view, through the shroud and to the blues, said that great 48 state divide. Touchdown at Tempest 38, but a kind of dark and it's kind of late. A city guarded by a wooden gate, where by the fire is the eye can see. Or evergreen in the wind of blue. And from the trees, not a single tune, yeah. Down by the river, with the woods on mute, I said, where the birds are gone. Oh, strangers and friends are new, yeah. Ain't got much time, I'm just passing through. So the man, southern point of view, but in a northern kind of light. Single trail or a single boat, single raven on river snow. He loads his collar
over all that he knows, over all that the eye here can see. Evergreens and the wind of blues, and from the trees comes a single tune. Yeah, down by the river with the woods on mute, yeah, while the birds are gone. Evergreens and the wind of blues, or the trees, just a single tone, yeah, yeah. Down by the river, sitting with the woods on mute, yeah, where, while the birds are gone. Old man ravens singing old man songs, yeah, while the birds are gone, yeah, well,
And that's Harrison B. playing at the Alaskan on Friday the 13th. What could possibly happen that day? I don't know. It should be lots of fun. 100th anniversary of the Alaskan, too. Holy moly. I can't believe it. So in the studio, I'm so lucky. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
I just got overwhelmed with some diva love. Very exciting. So in the studio with me, I have Ms. Rosie Humphrey, who's actually just kind of runs J-Lo and making sure the Who's Your Diva event is happening, and also a fabulous musician. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for joining me in the studio today.
Anytime.
Hannah Hoshide is also here, and she's one of the fabulous divas. Hello.
Hi.
And then, of course, Miss Erin Messing. Hello.
Hello.
So how's this diva experience been so far, ladies?
Pretty exciting. Pretty fast-paced, especially down towards the last couple weeks now. It seemed like a long time coming, but now all of a sudden it's like, well, blam, it's here.
Yeah.
And ready or not, it's coming.
Yeah, so for those people who don't know, do you mind, Rosie, just giving a brief overview? I know we've heard about it in the newspaper, we've seen it around, but just a brief, quick overview. How
sure. The Who's Your Diva is an annual event. It's the third annual this year for JLO. It's a fundraiser. Basically, we invite 10 women, it's 9 women this year, to become divas, and whoever wins, or what we say, earns the most votes, so it's $1 per vote, raises the most money for JLO, becomes diva for a year. So yeah. You can vote on Vendini through the JAC or through the JLO website at JunoOpera.org. Vote for a diva. Vendini closes at 12 p.m. on Saturday.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So get those votes in.
And is it sold out right now?
It's sold out.
Sold out. Okay. Mm-hmm. I bet you if you showed up at the door, somebody might squeak in. If there's no show.
There's enough cash.
Notice my silence.
I know. Those who give me that look. So Hannah, can I ask you what your songs are? Do you not want to give them away? Or?
I've actually not told anybody.
Oh, okay.
I keep likening it to when you name your baby, everybody has their opinion. And I don't care what their opinions are. I'm just going to do my thing. So you have to show up to find out. The only people that know are the people who are in the show themselves. So.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
I like that. What about you? Same thing, Erin?
Same thing. Yep, same thing goes for me, but everybody will find out on Saturday when they open their program.
Yeah.
So, because our songs are in there.
So how's the fundraising been going? Because I know from experience that it's a rough road. How's it going, though?
It's okay. It's hard to get people serious, you know, because they're like, oh, you don't sing opera, because I think it's all about opera for JLO. And then, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's coming up, like, really soon. Like, don't just say you're going to do it. Like, get on it and do it. So it's been rough, though. I mean, you definitely have to get out there and throw yourself out there and explain what you're doing.
Yeah.
And what you're raising
killing
the money
it.
For. Oh, no, not really.
I think she's been top three the whole time, hasn't she?
We send out weekly emails for the divas so they know where they stand. And Erin has been part of the top divas. The past 2 months we've been tallying these votes. So.
And the fundraising, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But
incredible.
All the divas are doing really well. All divas have already, you know, brought in some donations before the show. And that's what we're hoping to do. So.
Cool.
Should be a great night.
Yeah. So what's the best, Hannah, what's the best part about being a diva?
Gosh, I think the best part is getting to dress up really fancy. I have 3 sons, and I have to say hi to them. Hi, guys. Asher and Felix. And Jude, but he's taking a nap. And I have been telling everybody I have a sequin dress. I'm going to wear fake eyelashes. I'm wearing stilettos. I never get to do that. I live in my sweats at home. I'm a stay-at-home mom. So that has been the most fun for me, like finding the outfits and knowing that I just get to vamp it up and just go all out for one night that I normally wouldn't get to do. So
yeah.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Cool. Erin, what about you?
That definitely has to be one of the top things as well. Also, being able to perform and do something that I really, really like. This will be my first public performance type thing. So getting able, you know, being able to do that for my friends and family and just hearing how excited they are about it, it's awesome.
Yeah. So what's actually the most, what's the scariest part? How about that?
Going to be on the stage in front of all those people like, looking at me.
Possibly forgetting my lyrics. I can expect that. Probably. Right. Not careful. Yeah.
People don't even notice when you forget lyrics.
Right. I'll trip in my shoes since I don't wear high heels ever.
Right. Make it part of your act.
Yeah. There we go.
Nice. So what, Hannah, what's your experience in singing? What's your background?
My family's pretty musical. I was in Harborview Singers as a child under the direction of Lori Clow.
Oh, cool.
I did Alaska Youth Choir the very first year it started. I did choir in high school. I did a lot of musical theater in high school. I've been out for a while having children, so I've kind of been out of it. But I did King Island 3 times, and I love doing King Island. And I did the Juno Lyric Opera Tees, the high tees I used to do. I did like 3 of those back-to-back quite a few years ago. So those were a lot of fun, and this is kind of like my opportunity to get back into it, hopefully.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Cool. What about you, Erin?
I didn't do any type of singing until I was in high school. I would always sing at home and stuff like that, but a lot of karaoke. You know, it's easy to sing in front of people that are wasted and don't know the difference anyway. This will be my first real public performance. My family is very musical. We've got singers and guitar and drum and bass and all that stuff. And so I've sang with my family band, The Messing Link. Have to give them a shout out.
I get it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I know, right?
Erin Messing.
So sing with them a little bit, but this will be my first public performance. So excited and, nervous, but happy and psyched.
Great, great. So, Rosie, do you mind hooking us up with the rest of who the divas are?
Sure.
Thanks.
We have Callie Connerton, Erin and Hannah, Lori Daniels, Taylor Vidic, Christina Bruce. Ladies, help me out.
Leslie Wood,
thank you.
Cameron Brockett.
And Cameron Brockett. And our last is Mary Graham.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Thank you.
That's awesome. And so where can people go? Because you can still donate.
Yeah.
I mean, you can actually donate right up until the very bitter end, and people should.
They should.
And so when
JunoOpera.org, on the very front of the page, our home screen, there's a lovely picture from last year's diva. You click on that picture, and that takes you to the diva page. When you scroll down, you can see all the diva names, and it has their bios, and it has a link to say, vote for me, and that's how you do it.
Oh, cool. It's really easy, actually.
Super easy.
And so I've noticed the profiles have been happening in the newspaper, yes, and everybody's shots look beautiful. Is there still one left, or was it the last one today?
Last week.
Last week.
Taylor's, yeah.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah.
And so what is the purpose of this event, Virgilia? I know it's to raise money, but, you know, what does the money go to, actually?
Sure. So this money goes to the rest of our productions. That goes to making sure that we can keep these kinds of productions happening within Juno. JLO is kind of like Erin said, a lot of people think all we do is opera, and we're really wanting people to know that we're doing other things. Like, we did Hairspray last November. We do the Who's Your Diva now every year. So we're really trying to kind of broaden the things that we're doing. We're doing La Traviata at the end of September. So we want to try and do some contemporary, some kind of classic traditional opera things. And also, we want to start bringing in workshops and kind of, if people have ideas of things that they want the JLO to help sponsor or to help kind of manage, we want to be here for the community. So.
Yeah, that's very cool. That's very cool. I mean, if you haven't been to a diva show, and I know it's sold out, but it's an experience that you actually don't want to miss, because there's this fabulous women, and they're all really hot, and, you know, it's like they sing
awesome.
Really well.
Yeah.
And speaking of, I have to give, I just have to ask a question about, so you're playing the first half, right?
I'm playing the first half, yes.
So you're playing piano, so the first half of it is actually all piano.
There's two, one, Callie is accompanied by guitar, and Leslie is accompanied actually by her brother on piano.
Oh, that's great. And then the second act, so to speak, kind of like opens it up a little bit. And
yeah.
What can you tell me about that?
Definitely. So we want the Who's Your Diva to kind of be inviting, kind of like a cabaret style. So when people come, the first act might be a little bit slower paced or because it's more acoustic sound and more like concert style. But the second half, we definitely want people to, once they have some wine or some beer or some yummy food in their bellies, to definitely feel like it's a little bit more relaxed. There's going to be a loud band playing, and there's going to be people troving for votes, and you can, you know, grab somebody and say, hey, I'd like to vote for Hannah. Hey, I'd like to vote for Aaron. And to really kind of make that setting more like, hey, let's have some fun. You can even get up and dance if you want to. Some of the songs are going to be pretty rocking.
Cool. And I have to mention, I really like that band that you guys have.
They're
pretty good. Austin Osterhout and Riley Woodford, Simon Taylor, and Mike Moss is just amazing to work with.
They're a great band. Just even practices have been fantastic. So they're a lot of great guys.
Yeah, cool. Well, thanks so much. I mean, I'll break a leg. I just wish you all the best, because it's just so much fun. And, have lots of
Former reigning diva.
I know. Right. Please have lots of fun, and thank you so much for coming on. It's not too late to get your donations in, and I really encourage people to do that, because every dollar goes to a good cause, which is actually getting more singers and more people on stage in Juno.
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah, and can you give us that website just one more time?
JunoOpera.org.
Fabulous. Well, Aaron and Hannah and Rosie, thank you so much, and like I said, break a leg.
Thank you,
Shona.
The beat goes on, the beat goes on. The drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La da 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 dee, la da 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 da. Charleston was once the rage, history has turned the page, the miniskirt, the current thing, Teeny Bopper is our newborn king, and the beat goes on, the beat goes on.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. That was a little bit of Sunny and Cher, which actually Jeff Brown said, how about for MK's intro to the Chairs, you do Sunny and Cher, which I thought was brilliant. So that's what happened. Hi, MK.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great.
So you have your first Friday exhibit happening.
I do.
And it's actually tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow. And it's about chairs.
And it's about chairs. So what is it called?
It is called Chairs with Attitudes. And I was invited by Julie, who's a librarian at the State Library, to exhibit in their space, 8th floor, State Office Building. And she looked at my website, and she liked my chairs that have communication issues. And she said, why don't you do more with this? So I accepted the invitation.
So what does that mean, chairs with communication issues?
A lot of my art seems to come back to communication issues and body language. And it's easy to show that through inanimate objects, because if we can't speak with our bodies as well as chairs do, then then maybe we need to think about how we're communicating. So when you start looking around, the chairs are saying things.
Interesting. So I was thinking about this last night as I was thinking about your exhibit. Do you think that we actually kind of project what we are feeling onto the chair?
You mean, is it me or is it the chairs really speaking?
Well, you know what I mean. Like, is a viewer, you know, can... Okay, so here's my question. Tomorrow, is there going to be, you know, two people and they're looking at the same chair and they're like, oh, that chair is so happy, and the other person would be like, that chair is in deep turmoil?
Probably. Actually, people started sending me chair pictures, which is something I love about having a show. Put it out there on Facebook, who has interesting chairs that I can meet, and a few of them were scary to me. I realized it was about my relationship, my projections, probably not really the chairs, in case you're getting worried. But it has made me think about how unaware we are, all of us, myself included, about our bodies, how much we communicate with our voice and tone of voice and the angles of our head, and It's interesting to think about that. I mean, that's what makes an actor a good actor, funny without words in the way, or why what we say doesn't matter as much as the way we say it.
Mm-hmm. So is it mostly kind of the position of the chairs that brings on the feeling of it, or is it also, you know, their texture and their color and the way the fabric lays or doesn't lay?
Probably all those things. They're kind of simple paintings too. I don't want to make anyone think it's not millions of deep explorations of chairs, but it's a few quick studies, and it was a great joy to make them. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. And, yeah, the first chair that inspired me for this series was sunbathing on Calhoun Street on one of those sunny days about a month ago. And it was so – it was the way that – it's kind of ratty. It was kind of in the weeds. And it just thrown out to the side of the yard, really. But it looked like it had chosen to lay down there, and it was really stiff and really relaxed at the same time. To me, it is. I don't know if other people will see that, but that's what I saw. I was awed by it. I love it.
Huh. And so how many different chairs were the subject of the paintings?
There are 7 paintings, okay. And there are some with several chairs in them, flirting. Some childhood sweethearts, a first date. There's a friend to lean on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And a cathartic piece. I was doing a stairwell that I loved when I was traveling. I took a picture of a stairwell, and I transformed a plant into a chair. And then I was, as a mother of 2 teenage sons, working through some parental issues in my head, and that painting became a painting about teenagers and being on a platform in between 2 stages. So it's in between a stairwell, and all these shadows of different stages of its growth started appearing in the painting. So I love that about making a series. Not only is it fun to think about a subject, there's always some gift that comes out of every show. And for me, that was the gift, the teenager painting.
Yeah. So this show opens tomorrow. What time?
4 to 6.
Okay. And where is that?
It's at the State Library, 8th floor. So if you walk in up the staircase across from the City Museum and take your first right when you walk in the State Office Building, it's there.
Great. And it's not some place that is kind of downtown area, so it's kind of off the beaten track, so to speak. So you definitely want to make a plan in your gallery walk tomorrow that you check that out.
Please do. It's up for 2 months, too. It hangs all the way through October.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And there are plenty of chairs. Sit down. And they're kind of nooks and crannies. There's some landscapes. I painted 9 new paintings for this show, and I'm also including 7 older paintings that fit. Some suitcases that are having conversations and some other landscapes.
Oh, great. And so I know we talked the other day, and I know that you are a very, very busy woman, and you have another show actually very soon.
I do. Yeah. I'm starting some classes, kids' classes, and I also have a show. I'm really excited that Mark Wheeler invited me to exhibit in his new cafe, Copa, which is opening sometime in the week of the 15th. There'll be a soft opening, and I'll advertise it. But I have painted 10 new paintings for his shop, and they're in progress now. It's beautiful. It's near the Federal Building in that renovated space by Songs. So he loves Italy, and he likes travel pictures and landscapes. So I'm doing a series of colorful landscapes, kind of European themed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's going to be great. And so can you talk about these classes? Because I just got that email, and I'm very excited about all the classes that you're offering for young people. So what are they?
Yeah. Kids drawing and painting, 2 separate classes, and they're back-to-back, so you can take the painting class first and then drawing first, and then take painting if you want. I love drawing with charcoal, and so we'll do a lot with charcoal and shadow and light, and we'll also use ink and X-Acto blades and explore line and texture and layering. And then in the painting, I teach oil painting, and I never got to paint with oils until I was an adult. It's a hard thing to take up at home. And at any age. So that's what I'm hoping to offer, just an introduction, like kids know how to use the materials properly and safely. And I love it. I just love the buttery feeling of oil paint. There's something about it. So that's my goal in my classes, to have them be fun and inspire kids.
Yeah. That sounds. And where can people get more information about that?
I have a website. You have to spell my name, but that's good for people to know. M.K. MacNaughton, M.A.C. Naughton, MacNaughton, like the bad whiskey, .com. Yeah. No relation.
That's been a running theme through the show today, actually.
With bad whiskey?
Kind of, yeah.
Well, that sounds really great. So you've got this Chairs opening tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And what is it called again?
Chairs with Attitudes.
Chairs with Attitudes. That's right. And I can't wait to...
To meet them?
Yes.
Thank you.
That's exactly.
I do love them. And I do see a lot of spirit in chairs everywhere. Not every chair, but...
Depends on where the chair
yeah,
is.
Yeah, start looking.
Yeah. Well, now, I have been. That's the other thing. I'm just looking for attitudes and chairs all the time. Yeah. And so you've got the classes coming, and then you've got Mark's show. And what else is on the horizon for you?
I'm going to have a show in October in my studio, too, that's exploring alcoholism, drinking issues. And so that will be first Friday in October. And it's going to be charcoal drawings. And that's going to be a collaborative show with my friend Christy Erickson. She's going to be doing a different theme, but our show will be called Paper Cuts. And it's about, well, you know, the way paper cuts hurt, that little cut. So she has a completely different theme for her body of work, and mine's going to be exploring drinking.
Wow. Okay. Wow, that's going to be we'll look out for that. So can you tell everybody where your studio is? Because I think it's kind of also off the beaten path a little bit.
It is. Yeah, it's kind of hidden behind Kenny's Walkin' Teriyaki, so across from the big parking garage, behind the new cool Before I Die chalkboard. There's a little tiny door and window in the back, and that's where my studio is. And I don't have a sign up because I'm not always there. I don't really run a shop. So if people want to contact me, it's best to email me or text me or Facebook me. And you can find me, M.K. MacNaughton, on Facebook. I'll friend you. And then I can set up a time to meet with someone.
Perfect.
And you know, Sean, I forgot to mention that I offer a kids' invention class, too. If I could say that. Yeah, I love junk art. And I have quite an impressive collection of materials in my studio. And so I'm offering a kids invent class. I love the kids who sign up for this class because they love junk as much as I do. And so we'll make lamps. I have I love to wire lamps. We'll make gargoyles and other functional art using surprising materials.
That's really cool.
It's fun.
Yeah, that's going to be great. And I kind of want to take that. You should offer that for adults, too.
Well, I do. Oh. And I do art catering. So I throw a party with your friends. People are interested in adult classes. I do offer them. I have a couple that are filled right now, but... I'll do it again.
I'll be up some more.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, MK. Check out tomorrow, First Friday, Chairs with Attitudes at the
State Library, 8th floor.
State Library, 8th floor.
State Office Building.
Yes. And thank you so much for coming on and talking about it.
Thank you, Shona.
And now coming up here, we'll get a little bit of Writer's Almanac in before we talk to Miss Nancy DeCherney.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 5th of September, 2013. It's the birthday of Bob Newhart, born in Chicago, 1929. Started out as an accountant, then started doing stand-up comedy. His comedy album, The Button-Down Mind of Bob Newhart, was number one on the Billboard charts in 1960. Bob Newhart became known for his deadpan style and slight stammer. He said, "I've been told to speed up my delivery, but if I lose the stammer, I'm just another slightly amusing accountant." It was on this day, 1958, the novel Dr. Zhivago by Boris Pasternak was published in the United States, the story of Yuri Zhivago, doctor, poet, and his love for Lara. The novel was rejected in the Soviet Union. Officials felt that it was too concerned with individualism, so it was published in Italy and then all over the world. When it came out in this country in 1958, it quickly became a bestseller. In fact, it was the best-selling book of 1958. It's the birthday of Ward Just, born Michigan City, Indiana, 1935, author of more than a dozen books of fiction, including Echo House and An Unfinished Season. Started out as a journalist, he covered the Vietnam War for the Washington Post, was seriously wounded by shrapnel, came back to the States and wrote a book called To What End? Report from Vietnam, and then quit journalism and launched into fiction. His latest book, Rodin's Debutante, a coming-of-age story set in mid-century Chicago. And it's the birthday of the composer John Cage, born in Los Angeles, 1912, who played music to be played on various things, including flower pots and the hoods of old cars. His piece, Water Music, required a piano, a radio, whistles, water containers, and a deck of cards. John Cage once sat in a soundproof chamber at Harvard and heard the sound of his own circulation. And afterward he said, "No silence exists that is not pregnant with sound," which led to his most famous piece, 4 minutes, 33 seconds, 1952, in which the performer was instructed to sit silently at a piano for 4 minutes and 33 seconds. So the audience could listen to all the sounds made by the world around them and by themselves. Here's a poem for today by Linda Paston, entitled Practicing. My son is practicing the piano. He is a man now, not the boy whose lessons I once sat through, whose reluctant practicing I demanded, part of the obligation I felt to the growth and composition of a child. Upstairs, my grandchildren are sleeping, though they complained earlier of the music, which rises like smoke up through the floorboards, coloring the fabric of their dreams. On the porch, my husband watches the garden fade into summer twilight, flower by flower. It must be a little like listening to the fading diminuendo notes of Mozart. But here, where the dining room table has been pushed aside to make room for the second or third hand upright, my son is playing the kind of music it took him all these years, and sons of his own, to want to make. A poem by Linda Paston, Practicing, from her collection The Last Uncle, published by W.W. Norton and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app. Available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support for this program comes from Balloons by Night Moods, providing balloon creations for birthdays, weddings, and other events. More information at 523-1099 or nightmoodsjuno.com. Night Moods, a proud sponsor of public radio in Juneau.
As Alaskans, we face important choices about how we produce and consume energy that runs our homes and businesses. The Renewable Energy Alaska Project is committed to promoting energy efficiency and educating the public of the benefits of stably priced, clean, and local renewable energy. More information at realaska.org. This message brought to you by REAP, your voice for renewable energy.
They're back. It's time for another toe-tapping, foot-stomping, dance-the-night-away time with the Hot Club of Cowtown. It's a Juno Jazz and Classics encore performance on Sunday evening, September 22nd at Centennial Hall. Get ready for an evening of hot jazz, western swing, and great dancing performed by one of the hottest trios ever. Jazzandclassics.org for tickets and more info for the Hot Club of Cowtown. Don't miss it. This message brought to you by Juno Jazz and Classics.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. We're just going to hear a little bit of Bird Note coming here. It's Thursday, September 5th. Thanks for tuning in to KTOO.
This is Bird Note. Can birdsong inspire great music? It certainly caught the ear of Italian composer Antonio Vivaldi, widely celebrated for his exuberant, playful melodies. Vivaldi even named a 1729 flute concerto for a bird, the goldfinch. The flute is perhaps the instrument best suited to recreating the whistled sounds of songbirds. Vivaldi's Goldfinch Concerto, or Il Gardellino, challenges the flute to imitate the bird's silvery trills and sweetly warbled phrases, even its plaintive notes. The source of Vivaldi's inspiration? The European goldfinch. It's a tiny bird found throughout much of Europe, where it frequents gardens and roadsides. And it has the looks to match its sparkling song. Its striking red and white face is set off by yellow and black wings. No wonder Vivaldi found the goldfinch irresistible. Bird Note is supported entirely by listeners. If you're a supporter, thank you. We appreciate it. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser, and in the studio with me, the one, the only, Nancy DeCherney. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, how are you?
Great.
It's a busy week.
I bet it is. Seems that way.
Yes, it seems that way. It's First Friday tomorrow, and it's going to be gorgeous, and you're going to want to run, be out there and doing all these things. We have Sharon Lobaugh kicking off our season for us. Long-time, well-known, well-established Juno artist, one of the starts of the Juno arts community. I guess we would call her one of the mothers of the arts community. And she has a whole show devoted to Mount Juno. So if you enjoy Mount Juno, she has it in spring and fall and winter, all the different seasons of Mount Juno from all different perspectives.
It's cool.
Beautiful. Yes. And she's donating the proceeds of the sales of these paintings to the Willoughby Arts Complex Building Funds. So do come down. And also, if you become a member at the of the Arts Council at a $100 level during this month of September, she has a print of Springtime in Juno, which is a springtime view of it.
Oh, so beautiful.
Cool. All
yeah.
right. So come over to the Jack and get your little flyer, which I hope to have done in time. But because there are a lot of wonderful things going on. Don't forget to go over to the Alaska State Museum if you haven't, because those shows are going to be closing pretty shortly.
Okay.
Alaska Robotics has Brandon Hauser and Charity Green alive in Alaska. They're on Front Street, right next to Annie Kales, who has a new young artist, Lindsay Smithberg. She does, well, it started out as doodling, but I don't think you can call it that anymore.
Cool.
It's beautiful. Yes. Up at the Alaska State Library in the SOB.
MK. She
MK,
just talked to us today.
With
very
her
cool.
chairs. Very cool.
Chairs without a disc.
There is, let's see, Aunt Claudia's Dolls has come back from some show and has some new stuff. The Juno Artist Gallery, which is downtown in the Senate Building, is looking for new artists. So if you're an artist in town and you'd like to be part of their cooperative gallery, this is the month to go there. They'll have great refreshments, and they can give you all the information about becoming a member of the Juno Artist Gallery. And
oh,
selling
that's
your
really
stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's a great opportunity.
Yeah, good thing for people. Mountainside Wellness is going to be open. The Canvas has still got Alan Monroe's show up, so if you missed it the first time. And the Rookery is showing photography by the Gastineau Guiding Photographers. So there's a lot of activity going on out there. Following that, should you decide that you just need to sit down, there's two opportunities. The Prospector is having a wine tasting. Specialty Imports is doing it. They're calling it Ladies Night. MK, they're going to have all sorts of, like, Mary Kay and different sorts of things. And that's, I think, $10. Or you could go up to the Cathedral and from 7 to 8 have a contemplative moment with Charles Rohrbacher's Sacred Icons.
Oh, so, nice.
A lovely evening overall, I would have to say. Let's see, there's the community garage sale tomorrow morning at 9. No, Saturday morning at 9. They've got, I think the Woody Allen movie is still playing at Gold Town, and then I think they also have something else fun going, so you should check
out
their...
Not So Silent Film Series. Yes. Check out their website.
Now, I want to just mention that, there is the Seafood Gala and fundraiser up at the Mount Roberts Tram for the Bartlett Hospital Foundation, and yes, there is Hoosier Diva. Both are sold out. However, I think that you can probably still give them money if you'd like to contribute to the worthy causes that they support. I'm sure they'll be there for you.
I bet you can.
On that, Music on the Fly is Irene Mueller this
Saturday. Fabulous.
Yeah, she's going to be great out there. And also on Sunday at 7 p.m. is the second annual Friends of Fourth and Gold Spectacular.
Great. And you can check all of this out at jhc.org or also kto.org. Thank you so much, Nancy.
Sure. Thank you.
I would prefer us not getting involved, especially at this time.
We don't want to have another thing that happened in Rwanda.